Welcome, listeners.
Welcome, listeners.
You're listening to Deeds in the Desert.
The place where real estate investors tune in for the latest news and available investments at Ignite Funding. If you're on the hunt for a low-effort, passive income stream, then turn up that volume and pull out the hammock as we get ready to feed you your weekly dose of real estate investing insights.
Good morning and welcome to our latest episode of Deeds in the Desert. Today, we have a special guest for you, Michael Johnson, the owner, the mastermind behind Trust Home Builders here in Las Vegas. Welcome, Michael.
Thank you, Patrick. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely.
Appreciate it. I've been looking forward to it.
Good. Yeah. Well, let's put you on the hot seat and dive right in.
Let's do it.
Let's start from day one. How did you get started in this industry?
Great question. So I knew from a young age that I appreciated kind of architecture and homes more than the average kid. I kind of thought, you know, when I was interested in the age of my school, I grew up back east in upstate New York, and my school is probably 120 years old back in the late 80s. So it's an old building. And I knew being interested in the cornice detail and the crown molding and the solid core doors, probably not normal for other 7-8 year olds. So I always had that interest. And my dad was always a DIYer fixing up our house. And the house I grew up in was also 100 years old, probably back at that in that time. So I was always really well versed in interior design, architecture. So I knew from a very young age I wanted to go into architecture, and that's kind of where I always saw myself. I was always a very good student, 4.0, very STEM minded. So I love science and math. I love the hard sciences, and I like things that I can get my head around that have a specific resolution. So I don't really have an artistic side, but I appreciate architecture. So when I found myself going off to college and applying to architectural colleges and architectural schools, I wasn't really a strong candidate. Academically, I was strong, but I didn't have a strong art portfolio or any real interest in art. And to feign that at 18 or 17, I wasn't good at it. So I didn't talk my way into an admissions office. So I actually did not get into any of the colleges of architecture that I applied for. So logically, I went and got a biochemistry degree, and then I got a doctorate in pharmacology because that'll show them. You know, let me into your architecture college. So I graduated in the height of the recession. You know, we're coming out and right at the turn of the decade, 2010 roughly. And I started as a hospital pharmacist actually here in the Valley. And I only did that for maybe about 2 years. The market started to pick up, so I got my license as an agent. And just to kind of play around and channel some of that home, you know, passion into some projects, maybe some fix and flips, things like that. Things that I could fund with my own money. And that, oddly enough, kind of took off. And believe it or not, within 2 years, I had far surpassed my income as a clinical pharmacist, which is a good income, is a good salary. Thankfully, I've always lived below my means, and I was able to invest that extra into a business, which then became a brokerage. And I partnered up with someone, and we ended up growing a brokerage to around 50 agents and just kept reinvesting whatever extra I made into real estate, into my own holdings. And then around 2016, I came across a little infill parcel in center of town, Sahara and Valley View. And I put a little 1600 square foot house on it, all self-funded. I felt a compulsion, like I had to do it. And then I met a general contractor because I needed a GC to manage the project. He and I hit off like old friends. And before you know it, by 2018, we were picking up parcels in the Northwest, half acre, low density kind of stuff. And that's what we were building out. And then during the pandemic, I started picking up some parcels in Lake Las Vegas. Again, this is all self-funded at this point. That GC and I partnered up officially around 2020. And I thought, let's form a company. So anyway, we formed this company and we start really kind of going nuts out in Lake Las Vegas, and we picked up some or build-to-suit clients and continued with some spec homes, and then came across you maybe a couple of years ago and approached you to finally do our first loan together, and oddly enough ended up being in your neighborhood, mm-hmm. which was cool. And that's kind of how I got here. At doing your podcast.
That's right. Well, you've been lending or borrowing from us for about a year now.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
We've got a few projects mm-hmm. that we've already started working on. Yep. A few more in the hopper to come. And I'm sure...
quite a few on my mind that I'll be pestering you with in a couple of weeks.
Perfect. So the run rate will be pretty long.
Yeah.
one of the things that stood out with your background here. You said that you were kind of enamored with the mundane. Well, the mundane isn't quite what I would explain to be the houses that you're building now.
True. That is very true.
How did you get involved in that segment of the market?
Well, I will say, I think the challenge in Las Vegas is we're a tale of two cities, really. If you think about, we are either insanely mundane, three floor plans for 150 homes, and then you go a quarter mile down the road and that same builder built those same three floor plans. We have mastered the tract home here.
Yes.
On the flip side, we also have a very vibrant custom home and luxury market because of many reasons, our climate, our tax structure, and just our proximity to other major metropolitan areas. So I found that it was, oddly enough, easier to break into the luxury segment as a small builder like myself. The turnaround time is much easier. Far fewer unknowns. I'm able to buy pad ready. There's no such thing as a pad ready lot, but pad ready versus 5 acres in the desert where I've got to do the subdivisions and go through all the legal entitlements and the all the utility connections and infrastructure and such. Obviously, the margins are wonderful in luxury. So I've gotten maybe a little addicted to those margins because now I kind of run everything through that filter. And with those expectations of how far money can go and what you can get return on your investment and how you can sustain money costs and things, it's far easier in the luxury market.
With that said, what is kind of your average price point right now?
Right now, I'm probably, if I averaged everything out, I'd probably be in the middle 2 million, 2.2, 2.8. I just closed one in February that was 3.25, as low as 1.25 in the last 5 years. Okay. Before that, it was 700,000, 800,000, but that was our luxury market 7 or 8 years ago. Luxury, entry level luxury.
Yeah.
Okay. With an effort or an eye on getting that average down, I would actually prefer to be in the high ones.
Okay.
So building a little bit simpler product in the same nice neighborhoods and country clubs that I'm building in, but trying to scale it to where I can hit that, pull that buyer. So using Lake Las Vegas as an example, the South Shore of Lake Las Vegas is all country club and luxury custom built homes. The North Shore is a lot of entry level luxury, the 1-1-1-1-5 Toll Brothers type tract homes. I would call it maybe semi-custom, but mostly tract homes. And I'm looking to pull some of those buyers, that buyer that's in that 1-5 range, but they don't want a big concrete wall behind them, a CMU wall with a street. You know, there's a lot of those tract neighborhoods end up with maybe only 10 prime lots and the rest are kind of filler. So I feel that I can grab those buyers because just looking at it, going in and visiting those sales centers, why are the best 10 lots always the first reserved and spoken for? It tells you there's a market there that's not really met. Mm-hmm. And the track builders go on volume. And if they can grab 10 or 15 great premium lots out of any given track, they'll do it. And they know they're going to have a healthy premium on them and they know they're going to sell them first. So my strategy, at least in that market, is to find that buyer and find that niche and get a little bit more of a reproducible results. So I've got a repertoire now of some floor plans that can fit most of those irregular lots out there. So let's face it, at the end of the day, square footage, build quality, and views are your single biggest because our market is a relatively closed market. The Las Vegas market is the market. We don't have a lot of other little suburbs and, you know, it's not like you're on the Northeastern corridor where one school district can be drastically different than another. So then it comes down to what kind of lots can you grab that maybe you can capture those views and then how can you pick up other things with the value engineering of the house. So and that's what I'm doing to get into that price point. Long answer to your short question.
That is absolutely okay. Our listeners love that. They want to get an idea of,
right.
of who you are, how you
sure.
operate, your
sure.
mindset.
Sure.
And I think that's very indicative of you know, potential risks of investment going forward.
Right.
With that said, how many of these custom homes you expect doing this year, maybe next year, kind of over the next 5 years, where do you see this business going?
So in the short term, obviously, you know, the construction industry is not for those that want instant gratification. So the ball is in motion currently at about 7, that'll hit in that 175 to 275 price point, maybe some inching closer to that high twos, depending like the one we have funded now in your neighborhood, I'd like to be in the threes on that. Ideally. So that'll probably be my high watermark for this year, with the exception of the one I closed in February. Or let's just say over the next 12 months, that'll be my high watermark, with the rest of them falling somewhere in that low to mid twos. Where I would love to be in 5 years is to have maybe departed from luxury and maybe dabble in luxury, one or two, and get into understanding infrastructure, subdivisions, laterals, things like that, where I can start to create entire neighborhoods that can hit a healthier price point that is a little bit more accessible to the average buyer in Las Vegas. That's kind of my dream, which you'd think you'd start there and want to dream for luxury, usually. But I think that that's truly where I see it in 5 years. And I do know that ultimately, if I'm here and doing this long enough, I will run out of buildable parcels. There's very few new neighborhoods opening that are bring your own builder type neighborhoods in Las Vegas or in the metro area.
So speaking of those fears, what are some of the headwinds that you've seen or are experiencing right now and will be seeing in the future?
Well, that's a great question. I think, so for me, headwinds to my business are state and local jurisdictions. Just the disorganization of zoning and plan checking. And so I feel that when these plan checkers see a custom one-off, they just either put it at the bottom of the stack, they don't know what to do with it. They don't want to be the only person to sign off on it, where they know if they've seen this 3800 model from Pulte, okay, this has been checked off. Let's just check it for the 2022 codes. That's all they're doing at that point. And with me, they're checking these as unique plans every single time. And so that variability is the biggest factor that stops me from saying, let's expand this to 30 $2 million homes, because I do think the market could tolerate it and I think the market could bear it. And I'd be comfortable doing that if the funds were there and the capital was there, hint, hint. But I have another headwind in terms of the professional services. I'm constantly shopping for engineers and architects, because as soon as I think I find a good one, they kind of let me down, or I feel like I send off the architecturals and it goes into a black hole. And it's like, hey, I don't know what more I can do to light a fire. Because to an engineer, that's a little $8,000 job for them. But to me, it's a $1.6 million. You know, it's an imbalance where it means a lot to me and doesn't mean enough to them. Right. And they're busy enough to not value my business. I mean, quite frankly, I know that's what's happening. And that's okay. I get it. But it's those headwinds that if I had something I could reproduce, if I had predictability in the permitting process, then we'd be fine. And I could scale it a little bit easier. And I think that's part of why I know that I'm going to run out of lots. I have unpredictable scaling capabilities when it comes to getting anything more than, you know, 7 or 10. I start getting nervous. If I were to double that with another 10, I'd start getting a little nervous to say, okay, now my eyes really got to be on the ball. And every day they have to move one inch closer to the permitting phase. Sure. Thankfully, having a partner who has a background and a degree in construction management, 20 years working for production builders, when we bring his skill set to the custom home space, he does very, very well in turnaround times. And we're able to build, you know, 4,000 or 5,000 square foot home in the period of a year, completely done. And that to me is an accomplishment when I see how far, you know, behind some other builders will be in the same neighborhood, you know, for on a build to suit or something. So I can control it from permit forward for the most part. I cannot control it before permit. And that's my biggest angst. And then fears, I think I fear the market as much, if not more, than any other custom developer would. I think that's something that I just have to look at the overall fundamentals and say, okay, housing is a commodity. We're underbuilt overall, I think, as a nation, especially in the Sun Belt. I think we're overall underbuilt. And I just let those things kind of soothe my mind. But it's just market conditions, which would scare me, is that these projects are so far out.
Right.
You know, we're 2 years from conception to closing, and a lot can change. And I've thankfully only built in an environment where we were better off 2 years later. But I'm cognizant enough to know that that's not a given. The market can change dramatically in a span of 2 years. And right. You just have to kind of say, I'm just going to trust my judgment.
Absolutely.
And take the risks out of it.
Absolutely. And hopefully our listeners out there have learned a little bit from hearing from you, your experience here in Las Vegas, and hopefully our continued experience together, helping you grow your business as we put more dollars to work for you.
I appreciate it. It's been a really wonderful experience so far. And I value relationships and ease over almost any other factor. So for us, we've always had that. We've always had a great rapport. And I know that 9 times out of 10, when I call you, it's a yes. And it makes me feel good to know that I can scale this without being throttled down by my own capital.
Absolutely. So, well, I appreciate you stopping by today, Michael.
Thanks, Patrick. I appreciate
it. If you have any questions out there, feel free to let us know.
Thank you.
Take care.
I appreciate it.
Thanks for joining us this week on Deeds in the Desert, where short-term investments meet long-term investors. We hope you enjoyed the content so much that you share it with all your friends. Who doesn't like learning about passive fixed income, right? Still hungry for more education? Visit our website at ignitefunding.com. Or if you're ready to take the leap and start investing, give us a call at 702-761-0000 and schedule a free investor consultation.